Grace Chapel podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We're so glad you're here. Before we get started, we want to remind you of the importance of being connected into a local church body. Podcasts are a gift from God, but are meant to be supplemental and not substitute or replace the gathering of the saints in worship in the Word. With that being said, we pray that this teaching would bless you, equip you, and encourage you in your walk with Christ.
All right, well, we have 2 weeks left in our Built Together series. This morning, we're talking about discipleship. Next Sunday, we will talk about mission. We've said already that kind of these last four messages, in my mind, they're like individual parts of a whole message. And so if you've missed any of them, I would encourage you to listen to all four, because if we separate out the abiding presence of God, we miss something vital. We miss everything. It's the very life that we need to then move into what we talked about last Sunday, living in deep fellowship and community with one another. We miss that. We have no chance at getting that right of loving each other well apart from the presence of God. And now as we move into reproduction, right? Because we're talking about being a healthy, mature church. So being anchored in the presence of God, being devoted to our community with one another, those are vital to health. And they produce godly character. And as we mature, mature things reproduce. Mature trees grow fruit. They drop seeds, new trees are grown. Mature adults get married and sacrificially have kids and pour their lives into those kids. We reproduce. And so that's what discipleship is about. That's what being on mission with Jesus is about. It's about thinking beyond ourselves and investing in the lives of others. So let's talk a bit about discipleship this morning. Our anchor passage for this has been Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. We see God's presence in this passage. We see the need for being baptized into the community of God, being in fellowship in this passage. We see discipleship and the need to go to all nations. So let me read this again. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." One of the things we see emphasized in here is the call to discipleship, to make disciples. And that phrase, "go into all the world," it really means as you go. And so I really want to encourage us, if you hear nothing else from this message, we need to break out of any sort of mentality that would think that discipleship is some sort of like add-on. Or it's the thing that certain, like, you know, well, certain Christians who are called to that sort of thing, that's what they do. It's a department in the church, right? There's the little discipleship department over there, and there's some people that meet, and I don't know, they spend way too much time trying to figure out Greek and Hebrew. I don't know what's happening over there, right? Like, we relegate it to this side thing when it's always been intended to be a way of life as the church. That we ourselves are disciples, imitators of Christ. And we are committed to investing in others, helping make disciples. It's an as-you-go way of life. And so I want to pick up, just kind of as our anchor point, we're going to define kind of three key elements. Those who are in the foundations class got a little preview of this Friday night during our foundations time, but we're going to dig in a little more in depth this morning. And so Jesus, right as he's launching his ministry, begins to call some people to walk with him. Because while he was going to touch people everywhere, he was going to invest himself in a few. Invest himself in a few. And so those same guys he's talking to in Matthew 28, this is his initial call to them to be disciples and to walk with him. So Matthew 4, beginning in verse 18. "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" And I love how responsive they were. Did they say, "Okay, we'll mull it over and get back to you"? Maybe that's something we'll add to our lives later. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. They heard his call to be disciples. They understood at some level up front what he was calling to, and then they discovered for the next 3+ years how serious he was about it, about the commitment to really walking with him day in and day out, about allowing him to change their lives, and about participating in his mission in the earth to reach others. And so there are 3 key elements of being a disciple. Number one, if you're a note taker, number one is following Jesus. He said, follow me. He didn't say, follow my 3-step plan. He didn't say, come follow me long enough to learn this list and then just go follow that list. He said, come follow me. This is relational at its core. He's inviting us to follow a living person. And then listen, even as he's preparing to return to the Father, what did we just read this morning in Matthew 28? He said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That same invitation to follow him that he gave to those disciples in person still extends to us. We're to be in real living relationship with Jesus, walking with him. While there might be plans and strategies, information that we learn as disciples, at its core, discipleship is not about gaining information. I feel like I need to say that again. Discipleship is not about gaining information. The truth is vital. The word of God is vital. Information is important. But the acquiring of that knowledge is not discipleship. It's a component of it, but it is not the whole thing. We're to follow the person of Jesus. It's not rules to follow. Guys, I gotta say, it's not even a pattern to follow. We can learn things from the life of Christ, but this isn't about like, what are the 5 patterns when I look over the course of Jesus' life, the things he did, and if I just repeat those 5 patterns, I've got this. Like, we're so guilty of this. I don't know if other cultures do that the way we do it in the U.S., but man, we will just turn everything into a 3-step process, a pattern, the 21-day plan to turn your life around and be a disciple of Jesus. And if I just do this for 21 days, then the habit will be set and I'm good to go, right? Like, that's how we do this thing. And he's going, no, follow me. We are being invited to follow a person. And I want you to consider this. When Jesus says these words and he returns to the Father, he told his disciples, you go do this. Why? Because we all need a person. Like, as we're going to live here 2,000 years later as followers of Christ, I absolutely believe we can and should cultivate an intimate relationship with a God we can't see. I believe that. And I believe we're to learn how to know and to recognize his voice and to walk with him. But he gives us the gift of people, tangible, real people that we can walk with and look at and learn from and walk through life together because we need that. It really does blow my mind that like this was Jesus' plan. Think about this. He died. Everybody watched it happen. He was buried in a tomb. He was resurrected, and he could have used any number of plans to share that message with the world. He could have just gone on the Jesus Resurrection Revival Tour and appeared at will as he wanted all around the globe. Instead, he looked at Peter and James and John and Andrew and on down the list, with all their warts and their flaws and their struggles. And he said, you're the plan. You guys are gonna go person by person and you're gonna share this life with other people. And they're gonna learn how to do that from you and then they're gonna do the same thing. Because it wasn't just about spreading the word in that moment. His plan has worked for 2,000 years. I mean, you're here because people faithfully walked as disciples. And so he gives us a person. I love these words that Paul uses here in his letter to the Corinthians. Let's read this. 1 Corinthians 4:14-17. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, because he's writing a letter that is corrective in nature, to say the least. If you're familiar with the Corinthian church and some of their issues, you know, there were some things that ought to be addressed. And so Paul writes some words to encourage them, right? He says, I didn't write these to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. He's practicing discipleship. I'm sharing words to you that are corrective and helpful because you're my kids in the faith. Verse 15, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. See how he's describing discipleship? Father's all in, man. We're in like blood relationship. You don't have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then to be imitators of me. Follow me. Be imitators of me. And then I love this. That is why I sent you not just a letter, a person. That's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Paul did some hands-on discipleship with the Corinthian church. Paul invested his life in Timothy. Timothy now carries on and does some hands-on work with the Corinthian church. And this is a cycle that continues, right? Timothy invests in people who turn around and invest their lives in others. And none of this is about making disciples of Paul or disciples of Timothy. Paul made that clear just a few chapters later in the same letter when he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Like, discipleship isn't about you becoming somebody's, you know, I don't know, guru or whatever, right? It's not about that. It's not a bunch of Jake disciples walking around, Alex disciples walking around. It's disciples of Christ. But he sends a person because we need that tangible life on life. And so if I'm investing in the life of someone else, what this should look like is we're walking together towards Christ. They might be learning from my model, my example. You know, we're walking through things together. We're wrestling through scripture together. We're praying for one another. But ultimately what I'm doing is I'm handing them off to Jesus. I'm going, here, he's the one that you're following. And we're helping equip people to walk with him so we can fade into the background. Like, I think John the Baptist's life and ministry is a really great analogy for being a disciple maker. He spoke the truth. He invested in people's lives. He baptized them. Jesus shows up on the scene and they see Jesus clearly. And he goes, what? He must increase. I must decrease. This isn't about getting a sense of identity of self because, oh, there's people who respect me. And so they're my disciples. We don't need that. People need Jesus. And we're invited ourselves to walk with other people and learn from them the life of Christ. Be imitators of them. Learn to walk with Jesus. And then repeat and do the same thing. And so it's about following a real person. Point number two. Not only is being a disciple about walking with Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus, learning to know him, it's about being changed by Jesus. It is absolutely vitally important that the process of, we could use the word transformation, the Bible uses the word sanctification, that we are being changed as we walk with Christ. The beauty of the gospel is, come as you are. The beauty of the gospel is he doesn't leave me that way. He miraculously forgives me. He miraculously rescues me from sin and death. And he miraculously gives me his word and his presence so that I can live a transformed life going forward. I'm exchanging this old broken way of living that is death. And instead, I live the life of Christ. No longer I, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. Change is a big part of it. And he told them, I'm going to make you into something that you're not right now. Right now, you're kind of a smelly, sweaty fisherman. Walk with me for a while, and we're going to get our hands dirty fishing for other people. This is going to change you. And I actually love the beauty of what we see in the scripture because I think it gives us a picture of how change works. Sometimes change happens instantaneously. Like there's miraculous moments of change. Have any of you guys, whether it was when you first came to Christ or maybe after years of struggling with something in your walk with the Lord, you just had a moment in your life where it's like Jesus broke the chains of something off of me and like in an instant I was free of that thing. Have y'all experienced that? Yes and amen. And praise God that he does that. Sometimes change happens slowly. Y'all weren't as quick to amen to that one. That part of the process isn't as fun, but it's real. We probably have, I won't make you list them out loud right now, but you probably have some of the ones you're like, I'm still kind of waiting for him to change that one and wish I'd had just that radical, like it's gone, but it's there. But I'm trusting him and I'm giving it to him and he's working on me and he's changing me. Some change happens immediate. Some happens slowly. It happens in fits and starts, right? Like, one day it's this, the next day it's this. That's the beauty of the reality of the disciples' lives that we see. Like, we see those ups and downs. We see the slow progression. We see miracle transformation. I'm even grateful that on the other side of the Holy Spirit showing up, we still see them struggle. Because, like, the Holy Spirit does some powerful things when he shows up in our lives. But yet, they still struggled. They got things wrong relationally. They compromised at times. But the point is that change is happening. This has to be integrated into discipleship. As we walk as disciples and as we're walking with other people, because there could be a tendency to keep it in the warm, fuzzy phase, right? Jesus loves you. Just enjoy him. And like, let's avoid the hard conversations that might need to happen along the way. Like, yeah, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he wants to deal with that thing that's eating your lunch. Because it's going to be awesome for you to have that broken free. And maybe you don't think it's going to be awesome for you, but your wife sure thinks it's going to be awesome if that changes. And you know what? Jesus loves her too and loves her enough to want to work on you for her sake. There have been moments in my life where I am certain the thing he's dealing with in me is a gift for my wife. He's like, I love Amy enough that we're going to work this thing out in Jake. We laugh, but like, I'm actually serious. He loves us and he loves the people around us. And that love will bring about needed change. And so it's got to be a part of discipleship. Here's the good news. How does change happen? God does his part. He transforms lives. He works miracles. And even the things we start to cooperate with and do, guess what we have? We have his grace that empowers us. We have his abiding presence, right? This is why we can't separate this morning from 2 weeks ago. We have his abiding presence. So he gives us the strength to do the things that are required of us, that change happens. So primarily, we change by being responsive. Primarily, we change by being responsive. And to just keep it simple, we do that by practicing two things regularly. We practice repentance. You know the sentence right before Jesus called the disciples to come follow him and be changed by him and be on mission with him? The sentence right before that, I'll read it to you. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach saying, relax, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Y'all caught that fast. Repent. Repent. Repentance is good news. It's a part of the good news. It's a gift that I could have a change of course, a change of direction. And being a disciple is living in that tension of allowing God to highlight areas that need to change and being quick to respond when he does. If I'm walking with Jesus and hearing his voice, he will point out things that need to change. And then we can choose to be responsive and say, yes, I see that. I want that. I repent. I ask you for help. I want to give you the keys to that area of my life. You be king right there. And we repent. Another big part of having a responsive life is being obedient. Being obedient. These are to the general commands of Jesus that we read in scripture, like just beginning to incorporate that into our lives. But it's being obedient to his voice, like being obedient to specific things he's calling us to. Sometimes in Christian circles, we've made following Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus all about the no's. What are all the things we're not supposed to be doing? What are all the things I'm supposed to get better at? And we miss out on like the life and vitality of living in the kingdom. There are a lot of yeses that he's calling us into that on the surface might seem really difficult or challenging, but they're wonderful if we'll give him our yes. Yes, I will obey you and go do that thing you're asking me to do. Yes. So he calls us to obedience. I'm just going to mention these in passing for time's sake because I made a promise to be short and I can feel it coming. So in John 14, we've spent some time there over the last few weeks. We can pop these up on the screen real quick. In a few different verses in John 14, this word keep keeps showing up. Keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments keeps them. It's all tied to his love. Keep my word. That word keep is like one of the words used for obedience. And it means attentive watching. Attentive watching. I am paying attention to. I'm observing is another way it gets translated in English at times. Observe or keep. I mark attentively. That's the idea. You guys ever been around a hunting dog that knows how to point? It's that. Right there. That's the thing. I'm on point. I'm laser focused. That's the thing. And as soon as I get the yes, I'm on it. I'm tracking it. It's attentively watching. There's another word that's used for obedience in the scripture. That's found in 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15. I will read this one. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That word obedient is attentive listening. It's listening with the intent of doing. It's hearkening and complying. Hearkening and complying. I'm listening, and when I hear what he says, I obey. So obedience with Christ is really being about attentive to him. What do I see him pointing out? What do I see him doing? What do I see in his word? And listening for his voice. And so as we're walking in relationship with one another, this is about discipleship, we help each other do this, right? We help each other see the truth. We speak the truth. We help keep each other on track. We need one another in each other's lives as we're being changed by Jesus. Last point, point number three, being on mission with Jesus. Jesus did not invite the disciples to come hang out with him for a few years, be changed personally, and then just go enjoy that. He called them to invest in other people. Go be fishers of men. We are called to be a part of something God is already doing. He is pursuing people. He is wooing the lost. He's drawing followers of him to come in closer, to grow, to change. He is at work in people's lives, and he's inviting us to participate in that. Whatever else you may be doing in life, your mission should be with Jesus, investing in other people. See, here's the reality. You are discipling. You are discipling. You are having an influence on people around you. The question is, are you partnering with Jesus to make disciples? Are you being intentional? Are you being on mission with him? Do you recognize the people he's placed in your life? And are you tending those intentionally with him to have kingdom impact? Guys, this should be so encouraging to us, because when we look at our lives and where we spend our time, I will acknowledge that there are times where Jesus may call us for that to radically change. He might call us into like literally vocational ministry or go be on the mission field. But often following Jesus and being on mission with him is just about him filling the things we are already doing with radical purpose. That as we go at home with our children, as we go in our work environments, as we interact with our neighbors, as we encounter the random stranger, that we are partnering with him and investing in people's lives. It brings purpose to even the most mundane. And so the call is to, as we go, invest in others. We tend in other people. We tend to other people, I should say. A great picture of this, for time's sake, I'm not going to read it. Go check out Deuteronomy 6. You could read the whole chapter. It's awesome. Verses 4 through 9 specifically, it really gives a beautiful picture of what this as you go living looks like. I mean, it just involves every component of life. It's time in the Word. It's investing in people. It's as you go about your day, as you work. It's reminders that are there and present with you in your life. It's an as-you-go way of life as a disciple. I want to close by just briefly sharing this. And then in my notes, there's some questions to get you thinking about this. If you're in life group this week, there will be questions to wrestle through how to apply this. But I want us to think about this not only as individuals, but as a church. Like, do we have a culture of discipleship? Are we committed to being disciples of Jesus and investing in the lives of others? I already started to hint at this last week, but like, my intention, while we may do some large gatherings here and there, is not to like reach the community of Knoxville because everybody's gonna come hear some great revival preaching message by Pastor Jake. It's that we would all live as disciples of Jesus in our community and invest in people, and they come to Christ as we are sharing his life with them. And if as a church we will give ourselves to all three of these things, something beautiful and powerful and healthy happens. If we eliminate any of these things, there's problems. There's problems. See if anything reminds you of yourself at certain points in life or other churches you've been a part of. If we are focused on the change, that's an important part of being a disciple. And we're focused on the mission, that's an important part of being a disciple. But we're not focused on personal relationship with Christ. What we end up with is a very religious dynamic. We end up with people who just feel really driven to do the stuff. I got to work really hard on my own to change because I'm not connected to the vine that gives me the source to change. I've got to go get the mission done instead of realizing God's already doing missional stuff. I can participate in it. And so it's very religious. It feels very driven. You know, it's very kind of you're on your own, kind of powering it through, gutting it out. Burns people out. It's unhealthy. If there's no change, there's a lot of ways we've seen this in the church. And I always want to be careful here because there is a place for providing a sense of welcome, like anybody can come in the doors. That should always exist in any church. We need people to be able to come as they are and be in church and hear about Christ. But there are churches who have overly focused like the seeker-friendly model. And it's so seeker-friendly that at some point, a lot of truth is just sort of not talked about or emphasized, or people are never really being invited to the challenging words of Christ that may call us to change. And so it's kind of easy in, and then, hey, maybe we even do some stuff in the community. We're on mission. We're getting some things done. That feels really good. But there's no transformation happening. There's no character change. And so we're overly emphasizing things. That can happen. People need to change. Listen, it is uncomfortable to us always, I think, in our human flesh, and it's really uncomfortable in our culture to contradict people, to call out broken patterns or ways of living. But Jesus is going to change the way people live. And that's uncomfortable to talk about at times, but it's a necessary part of the gospel. And then finally, if there's no mission, if we're just hanging out and enjoying Jesus and learn about him and we're growing in character, like we might have a really nice time together. Right? Like, man, this is a group full of loving, joyful people, and we love Jesus, and this is nice. Let's keep it just like this, because that feels good. I've heard it said before, everybody loves church to be the size it was when they got there. Oh, I love that. It's so nice. It's perfect. It's the perfect fit, you know? And then it changes a little bit. It's like, oh, well, okay. Listen, it's so short-sighted and even selfish to say, I'm going to enjoy a relationship with Jesus. Some of my family and friends are going to enjoy the fruit of that, but I'm just going to kind of put it into coast and just cruise and not be on mission with him. It's short-sighted. That's one generation thinking. It's selfish, and the gospel is not reproduced. But if we give ourselves to discipleship, to following the real living Jesus, to being changed by him, and to be on mission with him, investing in the lives of others, man, that is the thing that Jesus says that'll change the world. That is his master plan, to share the gospel and change the world. Because his kingdom comes one person at a time that says yes and allows him to be king in their lives and allows that kingdom influence to affect everything around him. And now his mission is happening in the world. Amen? Amen. All right, that was probably more like 30 minutes than 20. Nobody yelled at me to stop, so I just kept going. All right, well, Lord, thank you for your word. God, there are times where I don't understand why your plan involves us, why you would entrust us in all of our brokenness, our shortcomings, God, our selfishness and pride at times, and yet you do, you do. You graciously love us. And God, other people have graciously loved us and invested in our lives. And so, Lord, you are calling us to walk with you and to be radically changed by you and to partner with you in mission, investing in the lives of others. God, help us do that individually. Lord, I pray there would be a moment of reflection. Maybe it's happening in this moment as the word has gone forth. Lord, maybe it's something that we sit with and wrestle through today or sometime soon this week. Lord, would you highlight if there's any area in our lives personally you want to stretch us in this? Have we given ourselves to really allowing you to change us? Have we purposed to be on mission with you? Are we just going through the motions, or are we really cultivating a real living relationship with you? God, have we paid attention to tending the relationships well around us and discipling others? Lord, would you highlight those areas? And then, Lord, as a church, I just want to invite you, God, keep us on track. Help us to always emphasize as a pillar in the life of this church, making disciples. May we give ourselves to that. May it be a defining characteristic of who we are. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.